Do you want to find solutions that help teams make better decisions, solve problems faster, and free their creative minds to come up with smarter solutions? There's a workshop for that. Bonjour, I'm Nati Ravez, and I'm delighted to welcome to this show facilitators and experts who share their knowledge and experience of everything you need to know in the world of facilitation, giving you tips and tools for leading groups, sparking collaboration, and driving innovation. Thank you for tuning in, and let's go! Today, I welcome Maria Wichmann, a friend I met at a facilitation retreat over a year ago and a partner since I've been lucky enough to co-facilitate retrospective sessions with her. She has a very interesting background, having worked 4 years as an acoustic engineer before deciding to shift direction and become a workshop facilitator. Today, she takes us on her journey and gives us an insight into her current missions with companies in transition as part of a succession process. So enjoy this episode. Let's go.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Nati.
Good start. We're laughing. So we are finally reunited in the south of Germany. With the same weather we had last year as we met each other coming back from Italy. Can you remember?
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you to the pilots who went on strike so I couldn't fly home from Italy. But I had to drive in a car. But thankfully, it was with you.
And it was raining the whole way, 7 hours long. We had not so much sleep during the week. But we became friends through this long driving because we were talking about our lives.
Yes, that was very special. It turned out to be very, very special.
Yeah.
Sitting in this car together and sharing life experiences.
Yeah. So I'm very happy that we finally, 1 year later, can record a podcast because you are a workshop facilitator like I am. And like a lot of the listeners or the guests that were on the podcast. And I know your background, of course, but I know that you study something very weird for me. So tell me, what is your background?
Okay, I studied to become an engineer. I'm German. And I majored in technical acoustics. Mm-hmm. That means I learned how to reduce noise of vehicles, machines, and stuff. And then I went on to reducing noise in aircrafts or jet engines that power airplanes. And we try to design the jet engines in a way so that they don't make so much noise. And we tried to predict that even before the engines were built. So it was computer modeling of noise. And then the pandemic hit. And you know that this was terrible for the industry because nobody traveled.
Yeah.
And then tons of aircrafts were on ground. It was terrible for the industry because you make money when those things fly. And then my employer asked who wants to leave, and I started thinking about that question, and I asked myself, I really love my job, I have great colleagues that I really enjoy working with, but do I want to do this job until I retire?
Mm-hmm.
And the clear question was no, but that just came out of nowhere. It's like, no, I do not want to do this until I retire. And then the next question I asked myself, when is a good time to jump off, to leave? And I didn't have an answer to that one. And then I changed the question and I said, okay, is there a better time than now? And then I was like, probably not, because I only get older and starting something new is probably good to have more energy and being younger in the job market and stuff. So I took the leap. I had no plan B when I jumped off. And that was that story.
So no plan B. And this is what we have in common. I quit my job 1.5 years ago. I just knew that I wanted to travel and to see the world because my daughter left home to go for her study. So, but okay. So you are out from the corporate. You are at home thinking about what will I do now? Because I know you and you are not someone who is sitting like doing nothing. So you were thinking about this, no plan B, but how did you find out what you want to do and where your journey should go?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm quite a structured thinker. So I bought a career coaching because I thought I don't know how to do that. I've been in this job for almost 14 years. I've been out of the job market. I need someone to guide me. So I bought a career coaching to help me find a new job. And she went through several exercises with me. I reflected on what are my talents, my strengths, what do I love doing, and what are the boundary conditions that my job needs to have, the new one. And when I wrote this all down and saw it on paper, I realized this job that I want, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And then the conclusion was, if I really want this, then I have to create it myself. And
is this in this time that you step into facilitation, or you already start a little bit, I think, in your company to look about this? But
I had facilitated for several years at the corporate, and when I left, I had several colleagues that said, Maria, this team thing that you do is your superpower and you have to do something with it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant, but the career coach helped me to figure it out. And what this business that I was describing on paper was basically helping teams to break open silos, to work more effectively, to enjoy work more, which is really important to me. And I had done a lot of stuff, did a lot of stuff intuitively and read tons of freebies online. And then I decided, okay, I want to have like a better foundation for this, and took another course in facilitation training, a rather comprehensive course. And that course, attached to this course, was a community. And I dove into this community and got a lot of inspiration, learned tons of things. And
you gave a lot of inspiration because you were and you are very active in this community.
Yeah. I also help others because I want to give back, because so many people helped me.
Yeah.
So it's a give and take in this community. So if there's one thing, unsolicited advice I can give if someone wants to start on their own, never fly solo, but find a community of like-minded people.
Yeah.
That's really what gave me a huge boost in this whole endeavor.
So you decided finally to really go into this new facilitation skills that you had and to look where you want to use it. And I know that you are doing different kind of stuff, but since we had a beautiful talk yesterday evening about one of the topics you are involved in, and this is a special topic, it's about business succession in small and medium businesses that involves many aspects like communication across generation, emotion, life stories. You told me a lot about that yesterday, so I would love to hear how you use facilitation and what is it about first? What is it about you are doing?
Okay. Well, the situation in Germany is that hundreds and thousands of businesses need a business successor in the next 10 years. So this is a huge impact on German economy. And I got involved in a project where we try to support solving this problem. Fact is that nobody's immortal. And even if you love your business, at some point you have to decide, what happens after I die, or preferably what happens when I get older and maybe I want to change focus in my life. So entrepreneurs need a plan for their transition into a less active phase, and they need to hand over their lives' work. And this process is very complex because it has many, many different perspectives of it, and it reveals emotions in the person who wants to leave or
who built the business.
Who built the business, yeah. Yes. Emotions, weaknesses of what didn't go well in my business, in how did I run it. A business handover requires quite different skills compared to what you need to run your business, or it can, it doesn't have to, but it can. Especially I am focusing on craftsmen, and like a plumber, for example, or a carpenter, they need other skills to run their business well, or they have used other skills. So communication is a very big, important skill that you need if you want to successfully hand over a business. And this is where the facilitation comes in, that I am trying to contribute to solving this problem.
And what do you like the most about this mission that you have here?
Good question. The most inspiring thing for me is to hear the stories of the senior entrepreneurs who are more or less wanting to change their focus in life. I highly respect the courage that they had when they started and the challenges they overcame, things like divorce or illnesses or whatever life throws at you, and you still have to run your business, or no customers. Like after 2000, there was quite a dip in for craftsmen, so there were not enough customers. And the business that overcame and grew out of this, they have been quite successful, actually, the ones that I spoke with. So the life stories, the crazy things that they did at the beginning when their businesses started, they are like super fun.
Yeah. I can remember yesterday that you told me about one person you interview, or you had a talk with a senior person who want to prepare the transfer of his business. And he told you one sentence, if I can remember, it's each time he had to take a decision.
Yes, that was actually quite wise, I thought. He said there were so many people that wanted to give him advice on his journey to hand over the business or find someone who wants to buy it, wants to buy the business. And he said he always asked himself the question, does that fit? Is that a good fit for me?
Yeah.
Because so many people have so many ideas and, yeah, you need to do this and you need to buy a big car to show that your business is going well. And he's like, no, I don't want to buy a big car. This is not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is true for any entrepreneur. Ask yourself, not check social media, what should I do? But what's actually a good fit for me? And this really has helped him very well to guide him as a guide for making decisions in his succession, business succession. Very inspiring conversation.
And being aligned with himself.
Yes. His values, he always stuck to his values. He's like, does that feel right for me? And now other colleagues, when he meets other colleagues, they say, hey, tell me how your business handover thing worked. And then he tells a story and then they say, oh, I wish I could do the same thing. But the key is ask yourself what's the right fit for me.
So it means that through all these stories that you listen to and that you actively listening to, you learn also a lot.
Yes. That's why it's such a great project, because it's so inspiring.
Yeah. And how do you use the power of facilitation in your work?
Well, as I said, I work with craftsmen, so car mechanics, plumbers, and painters and stuff in rural areas in Germany, so not in big cities. And what is most impressive for those people is that I sort their thoughts by visualizing their thoughts. That means I write down what they tell me, like when they talk about challenges or talk about expectations they have, how they want it to be or how they don't want it to be. I write those down and then I structure those. So each thought, I write down each thought on a sticky note or anywhere, and then I sort it. And then they see categories, or they see it's actually just five thoughts that go in circle all the time. And then, so visualizing is a big thing. And we talk, especially at the beginning, we talk about expectations. We talk about challenges, hopes, and fears. And one topic that always sticks out is the different values that they have to deal with, because the senior entrepreneurs have different values compared to the young generation that now comes and takes over. And facilitation can help to understand the different needs. For example, the younger generation, from what I hear, is they want to work less. So 70-hour weeks are not sexy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not willing to take so much risks.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that we focus on in the project is how can we set up businesses so that you can spread the risk, for example, if more than one person takes over. Or we're currently in discussion with one business. They are thinking about that the employees take over the business altogether, so everybody buys a share. So more solidary business models. So looking at different kinds of business models.
Is it a way for you to really facilitate, yeah, between this generation? Is it really hard to have a person who is almost 60, 70 dealing with young people just coming out sometimes from the university and wanting to take over these businesses?
Yeah, it's super hard because the values are different, and the way they have run their business, and they've been very successful over 30 years. And now those methods don't work anymore when they talk to the new generation. So they're sort of lost with an empty toolbox because everything that's in there doesn't work for the potential business successor.
Mm-hmm. And what are the solutions there?
There is no easy solution, but it comes down to communicating and awareness, becoming aware that not the young people are lazy or the young people are just not as tough anymore.
This is just another generation.
Different. And there was actually one entrepreneur I spoke with, and he said, you know what, Maria, if I'm honest, the way the young generation wants to work now, if I had done that when I was young, I would be much more healthy today.
Yeah.
So it's different. And yeah, it's a change process. This transitioning, it's like a lot of different aspects going into this. But your communication and facilitating, visualizing moves you quite a way.
Yeah, as a facilitator, you help them to see the different perspective, and actually, I guess, both of them, the business owner and the one who wants to take over the business, want the success of the business. This is the thing.
Yes.
So it's only a different way, maybe, of working and a different perspective, and you're here to...
To facilitate this, yeah. And letting go.
Yeah.
Letting go is super hard. Just imagine you... you grow something for 30 years, you grow a business for 30 years, it's successful and there's so much blood, sweat and tear in it. And then all of a sudden someone walks in your door and says, I want to take over. You agree on a price. And then this person like changes everything or tells you in the process before, I want to change this. I want new tools. I want to digitalize. I want to do agile. And there's like, oh my gosh, all those buzzwords. This is like overwhelm for the senior.
Yeah.
Because their way of working worked, is it's a successful business. So this is hard to also change your routine of the day. You get up in the morning, what do I do if I don't check my emails and go to the shop?
Yeah.
So a lot of aspects to consider.
Nice topic. I think there would be a lot to talk about it. But you are also doing, you are not only working on this, but you're also doing other stuff in the facilitation space. What are you doing?
Several things. Of course, I design workshops. I facilitate workshops for people. And I have a newsletter. I am active in several communities that have something to do with facilitation. So where facilitators gather, I help others. I coach in the facilitation space. For example, I help employees to introduce facilitation into their companies. And yes, you can buy courses, but sometimes your situation is so unique that you don't really know where to start, even if you have this amazing course. So in the coaching, I consider the skill sets that the individual has and the environment where this person needs to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a corporate background, so I know of all the things that go on in corporates and how to survive in a matrix like that. How can you introduce facilitation or do more of it in your job? Because this will probably boost your own career.
Yeah.
The workshops that I run are about breaking open silos, especially in larger organizations. That's a problem. I help teams find their purpose of the work. So especially people that are paid for thinking, they need to understand, why am I coming here to this? Why does that make a dent in the universe? And after the sessions, they're usually more satisfied with what they do. And of course, that increases motivation and engagement. And in the sessions, I show them ways to get more done, which is interesting for the managers at the same time, because it means less meetings and happier staff. Happier staff means it reduces turnover rate. That reduces turnover cost. Just the other day, I read an article and it said finding a new employee and getting them up to speed costs about 6 to 12 months of salary.
Yeah.
So if you just have one employee that stays a year longer, it's usually a business case to buy a facilitated experience for the team where they can work on a challenge that they have.
Yeah. Tell me more about your newsletter. About what are you writing? It's on Substack.
Yes, it's a newsletter on Substack. I assume you put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
I write weekly. And usually it's a topic that comes from my work, something that I experienced, a conversation that I had with someone, and it's all related to how can I break open silos? How can I work more effectively and innovate? So unleash the potential to become more innovative, because that makes you more happier in your job and you get healthier and the managers get more efficiency and reduced cost, because less meetings are required if people learn how to collaborate better together.
Have you ever regret to have quit your company you were in 2021?
Not a single day I have, because it was a great time. I loved it. I learned so much, but everything has its time, and it was over after 14 years,
Yeah. And
I needed a new challenge. I had seen engine development in all its phases, from very early stages to repairing the thing And yeah, I needed something new.
Good. And you told us about community. You were in a retreat last year where you learned a lot of people. What would be your advice to someone who would like to join such communities or such retreats, but maybe are not sure if they can invest or not?
Invest in a course, you mean?
Yeah, in a course, in a retreat, in a mastermind, whatever.
It depends on the individual, how they solve problems. But one common way is, of course, go online, search for the keywords, reach out to me on LinkedIn or to you. I am active on LinkedIn as well, just like you. And get in touch. And we know so many people and products and stuff that we can probably help in a quick conversation.
Yeah, and that sometimes we had just a coffee outside and you said something that you saw on Google, that sometimes the best return of investment is actually when you invest in yourself or in a course or in some knowledge that
definitely
lasts forever.
Yeah. Investing in yourself and spending, let's say, I don't know, 3,000 euros on a course, it sounds like crazy expensive. But on the other hand, you think, okay, if this course helps me to make a leap in my career, then you will get paid more for the rest of your life after this investment of 3,000 euros and actually pulling through and doing the course. So no other investment is better than that.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really enjoyed being here today. It took us a while to actually get together and do this. So thanks for having me.
Thank you very, very much. And of course, you will get all the information about Maria in the show notes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can find Maria's contact details in the show notes. So don't hesitate to get in touch with her and let her know what you think about the podcast episode we had. What do you think about her work, her mission? You can also subscribe to her newsletters, her facilitation silo breaking newsletter in English, and her business succession newsletter in German. In the next episode, I welcome Jakub Michalski, community builder expert. If you're in the various facilitator communities such as Facilitator Club or Workshopper Master, his name won't be unfamiliar to you. He is a lovely kind of soul. So join us for the next episode. And until then, I wish you happiness, good health, and of course, a lot of success. Au revoir.